Live, brought to you from the Eternal Word Television Studios in Birmingham, Alabama.
Of Jesus. The most glorious work of all, to praise God in his kingdom.
Moved by the Spirit.
Anyone who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in him.
What a wonderful thing is our church. This whole network is built on trust. The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you. We are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we have much to be grateful for. We have a lot of our family here from different parts of the country. And we have so much to share with you. You know, we started this network in 1981 with 3,000 homes. We had, I think, two or three cable systems. And we were on 4 hours a day. Not a big beginning. And most people wouldn't have bet that we'd even make it. But for your comfort and ours, always be sure that God works with the weak, the unworthy, poor sinners, and those who have nothing really to give except their yes. And most people are in that position. And that position of kind of emptiness and helplessness, with only a desire to fulfill the will of God, I think is what he needs in all of us to help change the world. Tonight, I have some wonderful news to share. Things are happening so fast. And I just see the world, the Lord, he's going like, he's just one thing after another's happening. And I thought, Lord, we can't catch up. You know, every day he's pushing harder and he's pushing further out. Let me tell you now, remember, 32 years ago, 3,000 homes. Well, for all of you that are family and have been helping us financially and have had, well, we're 14 years. Don't even know how old we are. Anyway, for 14 years, and we're here 32 years. Our monastery is here 32 years, and the network is 14 years old. And here's what God has done in such a wonderful way. Tonight, as of tonight, your network, with all the help you've given, we are in 26 countries with 40 million homes. How you like that? Let me just take this time and joy, because it's a joy for us, it's a joy for you, because we're one family. We are in the United States, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, Saipan, Dominican Republic, Grenada, Trinidad, Caracas, Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, Argentina, Bolivia, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Ecuador, Peru, Uruguay, and Venezuela. That's on a daily basis. On a daily basis, we reach all of these countries. Now, let me give you some better news. I can hardly hold it. For the Holy Father's visit, okay, we got 40 million regulars, like all of you. For the Holy Father's visit, 100 million homes. And we don't even know the new radio stations that we're now. This 60 million extra is a temporary affiliate for the Holy Father's visit. Let's pray that they decide to keep us. So can you believe major concerts, Poland, we're going to reach Poland, Latin American, Clarivision, Mexico systems, all of South America, and we might even have Ireland, which we haven't counted yet. But the Holy Father will be watched in 60 million new homes, plus the 40 he's on 24 hours a day. Doesn't that take your breath away? 100 million homes will be listening to the Holy Father. If you just count two people per home, see, when we're counting homes, not people. Almost 200 million people will have the potential and capability of watching this holy man. I thank you. Without you, we could never do it. And most of all, let you and I thank God. Only God can do something like this. And they are saying today, marketing is, if it happens, I will tell you, they feel from the calls coming in, we could reach 130 million homes by the time the Holy Father comes October 4th. I think it's an unbelievable amount of homes for a Catholic network that doesn't hedge or hem or haw. We tell it like it is, where it is. And I think it proves the whole world is starving for truth. They're starving for truth. Tonight, I didn't know what to talk about. I asked the sisters, and they said, we don't know. So I thought, you're all a lot of help, you know. I got about 10 minutes to get ready. And I said, well, what do we talk about? I don't know. I don't know. What about you? I don't know. You're all a big help. So I said, okay, Lord, what do we talk about? And I went to get Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a little man. Oh, you know the story, but I'm going to tell you anyway. The story is about a little man. They say he was short in stature. What it says here, we're going to read it. We'll have some fun with Zacchaeus. Then he entered Jericho, Jesus did. He was going through the town when a man whose name was Zacchaeus made his appearance. A senior tax collector, and a wealthy man. Not only did Zacchaeus short in stature, he was short in appreciation and love, because everybody hated him. I would imagine the Internal Revenue kind of feels like that, you know? They feel like Zacchaeus. They come and knock on your door and you say, oh, what do you want? And they're kind of tax collectors, aren't they? But they're honest ones. Anyway, but Zacchaeus was a different kind of tax collector. He stood out there, but he had tax collectors under him. So they collect, say, 10% for Rome, 15% for themselves, 5% or 10% for Zacchaeus. So by the time a poor guy came up there to pay his taxes, he was not only paying for Rome, he was paying the tax collector, plus he was paying something to Zacchaeus, a wealthy man. Some people are tall in height, very short in love or generosity. Some people have a lot, but very little in love or peace or joy. Some people are awesomely intelligent, but they can't appreciate little things, you know, small things. A lot of people know a lot about God. They're way up here. They may be exegesis, scripture scholars, theologians, but they're very poor when it comes, and very short when it comes to simple truth, you know? Like basic truths, like God loves you. I went to talk to a theologian one time, and he was talking about some very elevated subject. I wasn't sure I understood what he was saying, but he was talking, so I listened to him since he was talking to me. And he stopped somewhere along the line, and I said to him, "Do you know how much Jesus loves you?" He was embarrassed. He said, "What?" I said, "Do you know how much Jesus loves you?" "Oh, that's not the point." He said, "Let me continue on with this explanation." I said, "Hey, wait a minute. If you don't know that, then you don't know anything." Very high intellectually, we know a lot about God, but we don't know God. So you all know a lot about me, but only our sisters know me, you know? Because I live with them and they live with me. And a lot of people today are on that level. Oh, they could quote scripture, chapter, and verse. But if you say, "Do you know God? I mean, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Is he in your heart or is he only here?" Very high in knowledge, very short in knowing God. And we're not talking about wisdom, although wisdom is a high knowledge of God, interior knowledge of God. Like some of our saints. Some of our saints were extremely holy, but they had simplicity of heart, extremely intelligent, like Thomas Aquinas. But he was afraid of lightning. Did you know that? Some people say he'd open the tabernacle door and put his head in. I don't know about the rest of them because it was pretty big, you know. You see, we're all like that. We're all very tall in something and very, very short in other things. And we have to ask ourselves sometime, some of the saints, because they loved so much, did kind of odd things. You know, we were talking about Brother Juniper, if I don't know if you remember that, and he did a lot of odd things. Holy Father Francis did some rather odd things. But his mind and heart were so much on the Lord that his mind was so elevated that he understood the essence of truth to the point where he could be awesomely grateful to God for everything. Everything. By the time he went begging and he had no table, nothing. They were walking through the woods, and Brother Bernardine was a rather proper guy, you know. He liked a table and a chair. And he said to the Holy Father, he said, where's our table? Where are we going to eat? And all they had was bread. Oh, but Francis said, look, he said, see this rock? It's nice and smooth. God has provided us a table, and the spring is pure water. Brother Bernardine was a very smart man, but he couldn't see God in a small thing, see? And Father said, no, look at this rock. God made this rock just for me and for you to eat on. Undaunted by any obstacle. Most of us would ask 1,000 questions like, hey, I dedicate myself to you. I don't even have a table to eat on. Wouldn't that be your thought, huh? Isn't that how we all think? What is it? I gave my life to you and I don't have a table. Knowledgeable, Francis knew the heart of God. Well, let's think of all that when we talk a little bit here about Zacchaeus. He was anxious to see what kind of man Jesus was. There's a lot of that today. Isn't that why you're here? Isn't that why all of you listen? You want to know, who is Jesus? What kind of man, God man, is Jesus? No matter what you hear to the contrary, what kind of man is Jesus? This God man. How did he feel? What did he do? How does he feel about you? How do you feel about him? Well, Zacchaeus didn't know that. He didn't know any of that. So, he was too short. And he could not see him for the crowd. Now, Zacchaeus, again, was short in stature, very smart up here, huh? He had a lot of tax collectors working for him, and I bet they were all tall. Big men, you know? Here comes this little guy, and he's going around collecting his money. He was tall in the ways of the world, huh? We're all knowledgeable about the ways of the world. And somehow, in our hearts and minds, God interferes with our ways in the world. We're in the world, unfortunately, we think like the world. And Jesus said to all of us, you're in the world, but not what? Of it. You're not of the world. Now here's old Zacchaeus, smart little guy. He ran ahead. You can see this lad running ahead of the crowd, and he climbs a sycamore tree to get a glimpse of Jesus. Would you climb a sycamore tree to see Jesus? Ask yourself that question. What does it mean? Are you willing to do something absolutely ridiculous to see Jesus? Isn't that what I mean? Isn't that silly for a little short man to climb a tree? But he wasn't embarrassed. He didn't think about anything. What do people think of this grown adult man sitting up in a tree? And you say, well, I would have done that. Well, how about the tree of human respect? Did you climb that one? Somebody comes around, you feel easy and quick to talk about Jesus? Or do you hold back? You're afraid. I don't want him to think I'm over-religious, you know? I don't want him to think that that I'm a fanatic. You're not willing to climb that sycamore tree. We're not willing to be ridiculous in the eyes of the world so that we can be pleasing to God. We're not willing to do or to be alone in fighting for the church, in professing our faith, and for defending our faith. That's a big sycamore tree you're going to climb, and all these people are going to think you're absolutely ridiculous. You're not with it. You're not with the world. You're not with this age. We have to have alternatives. Alternatives. What kind of alternatives? When people say that, what they're saying is, I don't want this book, so I want an alternative. Well, if you want an alternative, where are you? You're going to deny everything in this book, then you're going to have an alternative. You can't have an alternative for the Eucharist. What's an alternative for the Eucharist? There isn't any, right? It's a symbol. What's the alternative for the Immaculate Conception? The alternative is there is none. What's an alternative for the miracles in this book? They're psychological. Never really happened. What's the alternative of the resurrection? Well, it was all in the apostles' mind. That's the alternative. We are a world with alternatives. Alternative lifestyles, alternative religion, alternative in our structures, our churches, alternative in doctrines, alternatives everywhere. You're sunken down. Climb that sycamore tree. Be willing to be faithful. Faithful. Well, here's old Zacchaeus. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up. Can you even imagine in your wildest dreams what Zacchaeus must have thought of? He's hidden up there. He thinks he's all by himself. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus. Oh, I bet he wanted to become a big grease spot. And not only does he say Zacchaeus, knew his name. Nobody said, hey, Lord, there's a little guy up there. His name is Zacchaeus. So that's the alternative. The alternative is that somebody told Jesus ahead of time, there's a little guy out there, his name's Zacchaeus. No. He looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, hurry down. I must stay at your house today. Our Lord is saying that tonight to some of you out there that are poor sinners. You haven't been to confession for years. You want to go. You don't want to get this load off your heart and your shoulders and your mind. But you're not willing to go up that tree with courage and strength to see Jesus. And if you do go to confession, you will find that God will say to you, Zacchaeus, I must come and spend time in your house tonight, in your soul tonight. I want to come and spend time in your soul tonight. I want to come and live in you. I want to be with you all the time. Well, wouldn't you be happy? Can some of you out there that haven't been to confession a long time, can you just imagine the joy and the freedom? Can you just imagine that, huh? Wow. Well, see, that's why Jesus did that. He knew he was a tax collector. He knew that he had cheated everybody around, and he knew the crowd would be angry. oh, Jesus was not full of one ounce, one tiny bit of human respect. In fact, one day he said, the opinions of men mean nothing to me. The new inclusive language is people. Since you men are out of the question, the non-neuter gender. I wonder where they're going to put you next. You know, I just feel sorry for the lot of you because I don't think you got a home anywhere. You know, you're just kind of itch now. Just a bunch of itch. And the important thing is that when we do things like that, we destroy. But of course, we don't understand that. Anyway, so now Jesus is asking you tonight, wherever you are, whatever country you are, with all your sins, with all your weaknesses, with all your dishonesties, go to see Jesus. Find out who is this God-man. But you're going to see him coming to you before you go to him. And he will say the same. And old Zacchaeus hurried down and welcomed him joyfully. They say our Lord was about 6 feet tall, they think. Close to it anyway. And here's this little guy looking up at Jesus. And Jesus bending his head down and looking at him with unbelievable love. Well, the people were not too happy about that. Did you ever notice in your own heart all the people have tried to, they've hurt you, you want them done in just a little bit? Isn't that the truth? You don't mind if they keep living, but you don't want them to be successful. While you're staying home balancing a budget, you don't want to see them running around in a big Cadillac. Then they gripe you. Huh? Don't you look at the Lord and say, why? Why should an evil man have so much, and here I am, with so little? The psalmist said that, you know. He wondered that too. Until he began to think of the last end. That's where it's at, everybody. Your last end. Well, Zacchaeus, they all complained. That's what they did. When they saw what was happening, they all complained. You know, it's strange about us. We want to be forgiven, and we don't mind forgiving, providing that particular person at least slips on a banana peel or something. See, we want to see him suffer a little bit. And that's so unlike God, isn't it, huh? So, but Zacchaeus didn't care. He knew what people thought of him. They all complained. He's going to stay at a sinner's house. Now, you see, they didn't want poor Zacchaeus to have any joy. He probably just got through that very afternoon cheating some guy right there in that crowd. About 10-15%. He could not believe that Jesus was so merciful. Who do you resent going to heaven? Who do you resent going to heaven? Well, if you resent anybody going to heaven, that means you don't understand heaven. Because that person would have to totally change. And see, that's the whole story of Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus stood his ground. Oh, what a guy, huh? Short in size, but strong in will and heart. He said, Lord, look, I'm going to give half of my property to the poor. Don't you think their little ears picked up they all began to think, well, I'll take his horse, and I'll take his whatever, his carriage. I'm gonna give half my property to the poor. How do you like property? I bet there was somebody that wanted just a little tract of land. He said, ah, I'm gonna ask him for that land. Now, isn't it strange, although they wished him ill, see how human nature is? We're so selfish, aren't we? They didn't mind. All of a sudden, Jesus was out of the way. Going to dinner with Jesus was out of the way. What do you got for me? Did you ever think that way? No, you wouldn't think that way. No. Did you ever go on a sail? I know women are at sail. It's awful. I always wanted to take a camera and go to all these places that have big sales. They have these great big counters full like this of everything a woman would want. They're on there, awful. Everything's going this way and that way, and somebody's picking up on the floor and there. You don't know what size it is. You don't know what color it is. And you don't care. It's for sale, and you're going to go for it. That would make a little five-minute comedy hour. And I'll make a bet. Every time you take it home, you say, God, why I buy this? Or your husband comes along and says, what is it? And you don't even know. It was on sale. What do you mean it's on sale? It's on sale. But what is it? Why does it have to be anything? It's on sale. I save 50%. You save 50%. What do we do with it? I'll think of something. Isn't that what we do? See, we really are a people. If there's something for sale, we're going to go for it, whether we need it or not. It doesn't matter. You know, they're very clever, the merchandisers. You ever notice at the beginning of summer they sell winter clothes? Why? Ah, I'll be ready for winter. Well, by the time you're ready for winter, you forgot what you bought. You save money. Where was that coat I bought last spring? I mean, I know I bought one. Your husband looks and said, yeah, I saw the dog laying on it last week. And you come back with, oh yeah, I thought it was a rug. Our whole nature sometimes is without reason. And that's what these people did. They forgot the essence of the thing and the beauty of forgiveness and mercy. Started thinking of that property. And then he says, if I've cheated anybody, I'll pay him back four times. Don't you think they all said, let's see, what did he get for me last month? That liar, I'll get him. We're all like that. Do you ever know what happens when your will is read? Too bad you're going to be dead. Too bad you're not alive when your will is read. Too bad your soul can't sneak in a corner and listen to your kids. I want that dresser. Why? I like it. Mom promised me that dresser. Well, I want it. What are you arguing about? I've told you this before, but I think it's been so many years it's worth telling. To show you how ridiculous we get and selfish and jealous, and we forget the essence of why we're here. This woman came to me and she said that she hadn't, her two daughters hadn't spoken to each other in 2 years. And I said, oh, why? She said, well, my mother died. She's rather wealthy. She left each one of them half of her estate. Huh. I'd hug my sister to death, you know what I mean? She got half, I got half. I said, what are they arguing about? She said, a commode. I said, a commode? She said, yes, a commode. I said, you mean a commode? Commode. She said, yes, a commode, commode. She said, you don't understand. I said, no, I don't. She said, it was inlaid. I said, oh, an inlaid commode. In other words, they're arguing about an inlaid toilet. I said, can you imagine somebody not talking to somebody over a toilet? Inlaid toilet. So I said to her, well, you go back and tell them, Mother Angelica said they should take turns putting her head in it. That was my opinion and my solution to a stupid problem. My advice to all of you that are old, as I am, give it away now, spend it now on yourself. If you want a little help, I'd be glad to give it to you. Be sure that your loving family doesn't go another region because they began to hate. And probably like these people forgot about the mercy of God to a poor sinner, and all they could think is what they're going to get out of it. That's what you do with wills. It has nothing to do with your mother or father or brother or sister being gone, or how good he was, or how much he needs prayers. It's what you get out of it. That's the world. You see the world? Anyway, Jesus said today, see, Jesus never lost that single-minded, see? Today salvation has come to this house. This man is also a son of Abraham. And here's something to comfort all of you and give you hope. The Son of Man has come to seek out and save what was lost. To save what was lost. It's the whole purpose of this network. It's the purpose of this church that you and I love and belong to. It's the purpose of the Holy Father coming to America and speaking to the United Nations, going from city to city. It's the whole purpose of why our dear Lord miraculously has allowed us, because of your help and your prayers and your sacrifices, to reach 100 million homes. It's more than 200 million people will be able to see him wherever he goes. That's what we all should do. We're all evangelists. We're all seeking souls for the kingdom, for the church. That's our purpose and yours too. So be Zacchaeus. Climb the sycamore tree and be ridiculous in front of the world, and don't be afraid to counter the world and how it thinks. To you, there are no alternatives, but truth. Truth is the alternative. We have some questions. Hello?
Hello, Mother Angelica.
And where are you from?
I'm from Arkansas.
Wonderful. What is your question?
First, I want to say that I love you very much, and I'm a convert, and you've helped me more than you'll ever know.
Thank you, Jesus.
And congratulations on being in so many homes.
Oh, isn't that great?
It's wonderful. Praise God. What I wanted to ask you was, I have a friend who has the attitude of, well, we should just pray and let the Holy Spirit take care of these things that are going on in the parish or the parish school or so on and so forth. And I want to get in there and do things, and I have so much trouble trying to determine, should I pray or should I be called to action?
Both. Both. We're all getting like something like the Church of England during the time of Cranmer. The people let it go. First came, I told you this a couple of weeks ago, first came the vernacular, and then they started taking the altars out and make them little, really, they look like these, what are you putting back as sofas? And, you know, these little tables, they're about this big and that wide. And then all of a sudden, there comes no church at all. It's so different. You have it today. There's some churches in America, you can't tell they're there. They don't even look like good Protestant churches, you know. There's nothing there. There's two things we have to be careful of. As a good Catholic, you need to be a thorn in somebody's side. You need to be a thorn in somebody's side. If you're for truth, then you're going to be a thorn in somebody who does not believe the truth. What else are you going to be? They're not going to pat you on the back. So, then you have to be careful of pride. We do have it. We have it all together. We belong to a church. We belong to a church that has a deposit of faith. What does that mean? That means we have the whole truth. We have the whole truth. There's nothing in the church as far as truth that we lack. That's what deposit of truth means, deposit of faith. It means if there's any question, faith or morals or doctrine or dogma, the church has it all. It's not my opinion. Who cares for my opinion? That's stupid. We are interested not in the opinion. The church doesn't have opinions. The church possesses the truth and is bound to give you the truth. Now, you can say the church is not compassionate. The church is judgmental. You ever read this book? I would suggest it. I would honestly suggest it. Because God gave us 10 commandments. You can't make 9 out of them. You can't make 12 out of them. There are 10. You can say it's not with the day. What day? Can you tell me anything about this world at this point that's loving or holy or just? Read the good book. Read the catechism. Two things you need today, and that is all. You can do a lot of spiritual reading, but if you want to know truth, you take this book and you take the new catechism. You got it all. The deposit of faith. Spread it. Give it to somebody. Read it and know what you're talking about. Now, when they come out and say, well, you're not with this culture. What culture? We're brothers and sisters. What are you talking about, culture? If I love you. When I went to Mexico, and I went to Guadalupe, what a place. Was the culture different? Oh, they dance different. When I saw those women going up from the piazza, all the way up on their knees, I like that culture. Is it different than mine? Yeah, I can't walk on my knees. But I can be edified by that person who loves God. Our general culture is to love God. And we express it in different ways. And we call that expression culture. And when you take that away, you have nothing. Nothing. So what I would say to you, sweetheart, is pray for M, for them, for yourself. Be ready to and willing to define and defend your faith. You need to do that. That's what we do. You're not liked by anybody, but we're not here to win a popularity contest, you know. We're here to preach the word. Not our words, but the word in the church. We have another call. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, where are you from?
Staten Island, New York.
What is your question?
Okay. My question is, this summer I've been doing a lot of interesting reading.
Would you talk a little louder, please?
I'm sorry. Okay. Is that better?
Better.
Okay. This summer I've done some interesting reading regarding Marian apparitions.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, what does the church go through to approve certain apparitions, and why would they discard others?
Well, it's very difficult for the church to approve apparitions. What they really approve is the saintliness of the person who had the apparitions, and that's long after their death. The church waits a long time to approve apparitions. They approve Fatima, they have approved La Salette, Bereng. Some of the newer apparitions, they're not approved, but they can't be approved. First of all, the seers, the lives of the seers, the virtues of the seers, is it heroic virtue? Is there good fruit? That's what the church judges. In fact, Padre Pio now, so far, has not been beatified or even venerable. They're not looking for the miracles during his life. They don't even count them. It's the miracles after his death. See, why? They're trying to prove the sanctity of that individual. See, Teresa of Avila, Catherine of Siena, Julia of Norwich, Angela Foligno, all of these great mystics were not canonized because of their visions. They were canonized because of their high heroic virtue level. The visions then are determined to be true or not true, not by the fact that they had them or how they had them. Are they theologically correct? If they're not, then they just dismiss them totally. So I would, number one, in today's world, go by the fruit of that seer and the fruit of these apparitions. Be careful, though. Be careful you don't run after apparitions that you're not sure about when you have Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament in your own chapels and your own churches, and you never even stop in there and say hello. I have a hard time with that. I think we need to watch. The Lord said when the final day comes, they will say, there he is, and there he is, and there he is. Don't believe him. If Our Lady is appearing everywhere, and I think she is, because I think we live in an awesome time of evil, a time when the Luciferian sin is everywhere. And that sin is, I will not obey. I will not serve. You find it in the world, in the church, everywhere. Well, I think our dear Lord and our Lady have to do some of these things to try to get to all of us at where we're going and why are we going so fast the wrong way. I would allow apparitions that you hear of only to increase your faith and awareness of the necessity of prayer in this world today. We have another call. Hello?
Mother.
Yeah.
Mother, Gary from Pennsylvania.
Wonderful.
God bless you. I have recently just came back to the church.
You what?
I have recently just come back into the church.
Good.
I was born and raised a Catholic, but I kind of got sidetracked.
That's okay.
And God brought me down and humbled me, and now I'm a very fervent member of the church. But my question is, since I've come back and heard everything, I don't understand this talking in tongues. Is it really true? Does it really happen? That's my question, Mother.
Well, that's a good question. Again, I think a few of it may be true, and some of it is not. St. Paul says in the epistle, if you speak in tongues and nobody knows what you're saying, nobody can interpret, shut up. He didn't say shut up, but he... What he meant was, if nobody can interpret what you're saying, then keep it to yourself. It's very difficult to know what is authentic and what is not authentic. I think a good rule of thumb is the humility of the one who has charismatic gifts. I went somewhere one time and I heard some people talking. And this is not a general case, but it taught me something. This one woman said, I'm a healer, what are you? She said, I heal too. I said, oh. Said, I heal livers. She said, what do you heal? She said, I heal sinuses. I felt like I was outside of an x-ray department. Waiting for the next patient, you know? I had a lot of x-rays when I was a young sister, and I heard the girl said, two gallbladders and a kidney out here. And I thought, they talk about people like they do their organs. You know, I got two kidneys and a gallbladder out here. And you got to be very careful, extremely careful about charisms. If there's not humility, I have myself, speaking myself, my opinion is I have a hard time acknowledging a gift if it does not bear the sign of the Spirit, which is humility of heart. People should go to the healer and say, I'm healed. Not the healer go to the person and say, you're healed. If you don't know it, don't me tell you that. I'm not going to tell you that. We have to be very careful. And I'm not downgrading charismatics at all. What am I trying to say? Look, observe, be careful. Go to the Eucharist and go to Mary. Be careful of people who can do great things, great miracles, and not have humility. To me, I stick with Jesus and the Eucharist and Our Lady. Those are the two pillars that hold up the church. Thank God for other people's gifts, even if you don't have them. We cannot judge whether they're good or bad or false or real, but we can judge by their humility and their virtue level. We have another call. We got 3 minutes. Hello?
Hello, Mother.
Where are you from?
San Antonio, Texas.
And what is your question?
My question, Mother, is I am very ill. I took very ill yesterday. I've heard a lot about the prayer of healing, mm-hmm. and I did that with my mother when she passed away, as well
That's
as my
right.
sister. And I have found myself now in the position to where I'm asking God to help me.
That's fine.
I refused surgery, for one.
Mm-hmm.
Last night I left the hospital, and I am praying.
And we'll pray with you.
Thank you, Mother.
You're welcome. That's what we can always do, is to pray. If God wants you to go through some surgery, then go. We'll pray for that, that it's successful. Sometimes maybe we think in our heart it's not prudent, but you have to really pray and talk to your family and see what God wants you to do. But always do what you do with confidence in God's love for you, God's mercy to you, and His providence. He will take care. Well, would you believe we only have a minute and a half? And in that minute and a half, I want to thank you again for giving God, you and all of us together, 100 million homes for His vicar to go into, to pray for, and to teach. That's His mission. That's His mission from God. Infallible, truthful, honest, and strong. We are so fortunate to have such a holy Pope. Thank you again. And let us again never be satisfied with what God has done until we reach China, Japan, and India, and we go global. I will not let you go. I will pester you for more and more until every inch of this world, every spot has heard that Jesus Christ is Lord. God bless you.